Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Advisor. First off, I want to say a huge thank you to our sponsors, Dr. Bradley Nelson and iHeartRadio, and a huge shout out to our listeners and our fans. Our show is now available and running on Megaphone, and your liking and subscribing is helping us grow. So before you leave, please do not to forget to like and subscribe. So today, it's my absolute pleasure to introduce Derek Borthwick. He is the founder of Power to Mind and the best-selling author and a best-selling author, communication and mind expert, certified coach with over 30 years of experience helping people and organizations master influence, public speaking, sales, mindset, and confidence. So today we're going to be talking about what drives his work, his Power to Mind method, and how you guys can apply some of these tools to your own life and business. So, Derek, it is so great to have you here. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you, Lisa. Thanks for inviting me on. I'm super excited to be with you today and looking forward to it. So thank you.
Yes. Remind me, where are you coming in from?
I'm coming in from Edinburgh in Scotland. So afternoon time for me here, and you'll see we've still got some leaves on the trees behind me.
It looks absolutely beautiful.
It is one of the benefits of living in Scotland. Beautiful country, just a little bit cold.
A little bit cold. Oh my gosh. Derek, I live in Canada and it's like minus 30 in the winter. People think I have an igloo.
Well, we specialize in a certain weather phenomenon. It's horizontal rain. So it actually comes
Oh.
that way in Scotland with the wind.
What? Oh wow. Is that because it gets so windy?
Yeah, windy and rainy. We get a lot of rain here, which is why it's so green. It's actually not as bad as cold as wet as some people make out. We kind of play on it a bit being Scottish, but it's nice. It's a nice green country, and I enjoy living here.
Beautiful. Have you, is that where you grew up?
Yeah, well, originally born in Glasgow, so I was on the dark side, on the west side of the country. And
Okay.
then via a number of different routes, I ended up in Edinburgh. And I think I have to be surgically removed from here now because I actually really enjoy it. It's so
Yeah.
nice. I've got the castle, which is literally 45 minutes down the road. Can walk into Princes Street in what, about half an hour. So it's great, I really enjoy it here.
Beautiful. So I want to get into your work. What you've developed Power to Mind. So this is a coaching method that you developed. So what prompted you to develop it, and how is it different from traditional training?
Yeah, that's a great question, Lisa. And I guess it was after having worked, my background is in working in banking and asset management. So I hope that doesn't turn all your listeners off immediately working on the dark side. And after being in many, many presentations and seeing communication breakdown, I spotted things I thought were perfectly obvious, but I couldn't understand why other people couldn't see it. So, to kind of long story short, I was sailing on a boat in the West Coast, and a friend of mine said to me, "What are you going to do?" After I left, I worked for the Swiss Private Bank and left there. I said, "I'm going to train people on communication and public speaking." And he said, "When was the last time you did a presentation?" I said, "Oh, it was probably about 6 months ago." He said, "You'll be rusty." And I said, "No, I'll be fine." He said, "You'll be rusty." So I went along to Toastmasters just to deliver a couple of speeches, just to keep my hand in. And at the end of it, I was speaking to a lot of the young people and just talking about things I thought were common sense that everybody knew, things like different types of handshakes, reading body language, basic communication skills. And they were standing around looking at me in awe. And I was joking and I said, "Oh, I should write a book on this." And they said, "Yeah, you should." So that's where I wrote my first book. And I'd also had, Lisa, had a fascination since my early 20s, which is a long time ago now, Lisa, in hypnosis.
Don't tell
And
anyone your age.
well, they say the older the fiddle, the better the tune. So we'll see, shall we? So I had a fascination with hypnosis and NLP, and from that, NLP. And it's really the power of words and language and how you can really, once you realize that perception, you control somebody's perception, you control the reality, you can use this for good. You can also use it for, well, malintent as well, which is why you have to be aware of when people are trying to manipulate you. But we all want to communicate better. If we can work out how the brain works and how people are wired, this is so much better. I mean, if you think about it, when you were born, nobody gave you a little manual and said, "There you are, Lisa. That's how you and other human beings work."
Gosh, wouldn't that have been beautiful?
It's like getting some flat back furniture with no instructions. You kind of just try this bit and you go, oh, I've got it wrong. I mean, I've got form in this area because my daughter's doll's house, I remember Christmas Eve, I was building it away. I didn't bother with the instructions and I built it back to front. So I'd take it apart and start all over again. So if we had some sort of methodology and understanding, then this makes it so much easier. But here's the issue, though. The real secret is getting the unconscious mind involved, intent. So the conscious mind focuses on content, the unconscious mind focuses on intent. So if you can get the intent right, what tends to happen is your body language, your voice, and your enthusiasm and everything will mirror that. But some people like a step-by-step process. Some people like paint by numbers, others are a little bit more free flow. So with my method, I focus on the mindset part. But also, I cover the step-by-step part as well. So there's a heavy influence in the mindset, and every one of my books comes with a free audio program that is designed to help you program your mind for success. And there are separate ones that I've recorded in addition to that for specialist areas like confidence, stage fright, presenting, be more positive, sleeping better, stress, these sort of things. Does that answer your question?
And you know what's interesting to me? I can't let it out of my mind is when you said that when you first started discovering that this was your thing, that you found it surprising that not a lot of people understood the simple things that you did. And I think that's a really good reminder to us as experts in whatever we're doing that's our niche and we have to it's surprising that not everybody knows how to communicate, right? Like it was surprising to you and then you come in and that's your niche and then you start teaching it and empowering people to be better communicators. But I find it so interesting how we often think that everybody can think and feel the way that we do.
Yeah, I think that's the key, Lisa. I mean, the world would just be so much more simple if everyone was just a bit more like us. But we're not. That once you realize that the brain, without going into too much of the science behind it, but the reality is really just an illusion, and albeit a persistent one, as Einstein said, and we're starting to see more and more neuroscientists now say, hey, are we living in a hologram, or what's actually going on here? But you know that what you're seeing is not real, for the simple reason that if I was to throw a ball to you, Lisa, if you saw it in real time, you would never catch that ball, because by the time you closed your hands, the ball would have passed through. So what the brain does is it acts as a predictive mechanism, basing the world on patterns that you've observed before. So let me give you an example. Suppose that your listeners were in a, say they were in a city and they're walking down the street, and suddenly they see somebody dressed as Batman. Now, they would probably remember that forever because it's unusual. But the vast majority of people you will see in the morning, you won't remember anything of them. You will remember the person who's unusual, who's behaving unusually, and someone who's very attractive. And we won't go to the latter one for this conversation. But it shows you how that's how we're wired. So we're wired to spot difference. And the reason for that is the pattern of behavior was not as predicted. So we have the conscious mind then starts to come in and go, hey, wait a minute, what's going on? I need to process this. Why have we got Batman? And then we go through the different parts of the brain, the paleocortex. We then go into the limbic system and then the neocortex. So it goes something like this. We see somebody dressed as Batman. We have an emotional response to begin with. We want to know fight, flight, friend, or foe. There are some other ones in there beginning with F as well, and we'll leave those out for this example. So then what happens is we then get an emotion. So we then think we either laugh. Or maybe we're secretly envious. Maybe you wanted to be Batman. You never know. Maybe we think it's
I'd love to
ridiculous.
be Batman.
I think I would too. I think we all would like that. So we then think that may be ridiculous. And then we have that moment as we walk down the street. You know the moment where often you rub your chin and you maybe look up in the air and you say, now, why would somebody be dressed as Batman at downtown on a Monday morning at 9 o'clock? Why would they do that? So we try and logic it out. Now, if you think of what we do in business, it's the complete opposite. So we try and logic somebody into a decision. We then try and hope that they feel okay, and then latterly we're not perceived as a threat. Now, let's just give you a really scary experience, Lisa. Are you ready for this one?
I'm ready.
So let's just suppose that I see you at the bus stop and I've decided you're perfectly safe. Don't worry, I've got three kids, but we're just going to play. That I spotted you and I think, hey, you know what? I want to get married to Lisa. So I go over and I hand you a list of 10 very logical reasons why we should get married. Now, how successful is it going to be? Not really
Not
successful.
very.
No, because there's no emotional connection. What do we do in business when we're communicating? We try and logic somebody into a decision without developing the emotional connection first and trying to appease the reptile brain, which is the fight, flight, freeze part. You see? Once we understand how people are wired, it helps. Now, I'm going to give your listeners something to think about here, and this is quite amusing. So if you have your camera, Lisa, and you said to me, you're with your group of friends, and you hand me your mobile phone or your cell phone, and I take a picture of you and your friends, and I hand it back. You say, let's have a look, Derek, let's have a look. Who do you look at first in the picture, Lisa?
Myself.
Exactly. So one for your listeners, if you want to start developing rapport with people, and this goes in therapy as well, get people talking about their favorite subject, which is themselves.
Themselves.
So once you can, so you can use this in all parts. It's very similar principles. So I study the therapeutic side as well. So I've got a diploma in clinical hypnotherapy and NLP because I was interested in the words and the effects they have and how we could use this for performance enhancement and mindset.
Wow. I was shopping for a new couch last weekend, and one of my biggest frustrations was that when I walked in the furniture store, the salespeople would start telling me about all the furniture that they had without asking me why I was there. And it was driving me insane. And I literally just started shutting down because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm here to find a chair. I really don't care what couch you have, you know? It was exactly what you said. It was The approach was wrong. It wasn't about them, it was about me, but they didn't approach it that way. So do you find that that's one of the biggest challenges that people in leadership positions have is not prioritizing the room, I guess you could say? Or what are some of the biggest challenges you see with people in mindset and communication?
Well, let's have a look at communication first, just broadly across the board. The biggest problem is not listening properly. There is nothing worse. And there's something strange that people do when they go to networking events. I don't know if you've heard this, Lisa. Even though I understand this, I still do it. And that's, we look around at everyone else. It's almost like we can't look at anybody for too long. We're trying to spot who else do we need to speak to. And of course, people pick up on that. So one of the worst things you can do is just not listen to somebody. In fact, the tips I'm going to give you, if you want to get rid of somebody you don't like, just do the opposite and you won't see them again. Okay? So it's quite, you can do both. There's always the yin and yang, isn't there? So there's a polar opposite. So one of the things to do is to listen to people. Now here's something you can do that's really, really effective. Now, for any of your listeners that are in business meetings, who sometimes those meetings get a bit boring, don't they? And you just think, I don't want to show I'm bored. So the one thing we don't do is we don't support our head in any way, because that's a giveaway. So, but we can use our head another way. So we think, you know what? I'd quite like to have a little internal dream where I can imagine going on holiday or the restaurant I'm going to, the bar. So all you do, Lisa, is you tilt your head slightly to one side, about 20, 30 degrees, and just nod occasionally. Now that unconsciously shows that you are listening. So when you do that, so it's well, there's two parts of the listening. We want to listen, which we do through eye contact and also listening carefully to the words, but we also want to show non-verbally that we're listening. So do you see we can layer this? So we have the asking the questions, and then we have the tilting the head. Now, one of the biggest problems I see in communication, and I'll keep it very simple. We can take this to another level. We'll just keep it simple to begin with. And I'll give you a little formula that works every time. So what we do is we ask a question and we ask an open question, which is who, when, why, what, where. Be careful with the word why, which we can come to in a second if you want. You'll know that children are very good to practice. So if you say to children something like, are you looking forward to your holiday? They go, yes. Do you want to go to the party? Yes. Do you want to eat your Brussels sprouts? No. So they're very good. These are what you call closed questions, but, and they're very good for practicing. I'm not saying you lurk around schools and find young children, but you'll notice this if you have any relatives or young children, you notice they do this a lot. So we want you to use open questions to get people talking. And then what we do is afterwards we make a small comment and then we ask another question. The way to do it would be something like if I said to you, Lisa, what do you find most interesting about your job? You may say the variety. I really enjoy this. And I would say something like, I can understand that variety is a spice of life. Which part of the job do you enjoy the most? You see? So I make a small comment and that's the glue. That's sorry, not the glue. That's the oil to keep the machine going. Now, here's the wrong way to do it, okay? Which is, I would say, Lisa, what do you think? What do you find most interesting about your job? And you may say the variety. And then I go, oh, that's interesting. I find variety interesting too. Do you know, in my job, one of the things I find, and I start talking about myself, you see. So what we want to do is just that's a question, small comment, and a question. We can take it to a more advanced level, but I'm finding when I work training people, we have to start off with the basics because it seems easy to do, but it's harder in practice. So that'd be one of the things I would say in communication that is the biggest thing I've observed is not listening and poor use of questioning. I'll leave you just one other one as well, if I can, for the business audience, for anybody who's involved in sales. And this is one of the biggest sins I see all the time. And this is what you call rapid presenters. These are people who may ask you a question. And it's a surface level question, and then they give you the solution before they know what you want. So let me just use something. I'll keep something pretty broad so it tries to cover a lot. We'll talk about just investments for a sake of argument. So suppose that I was wanting to sell you, say, an American mutual fund, okay? And I went in and said, Lisa, do you use American mutual funds? Now I've gone deliberately closed to your question, okay? And you would say, yes. And I go, oh, great, here's ours. And then I go through my presentation, and at the end of it, you say, well, I'm really only wanting a fund that invests in the smaller US companies. And I'm going, oh, right. So I've wasted your time. Whereas what we want to try and do is match up what do you want with what we have. This is where salespeople are so enthusiastic to give that solution that they don't work out, first of all, does the outfit fit the person's measurement rather than trying to squeeze it in, if that makes sense. Maybe that's not the best metaphor, I don't know.
No, that really does make sense. Time is valuable, and when someone feels like if someone doesn't understand them, that shuts people down immediately. So if you're trying to sell me something that has nothing to do with my life, I'm going to be sitting here thinking like, this person knows nothing about me, or they don't understand me at all, right? So it's a getting to know who you're speaking to. I find it, so psychology has always been so interesting to me, just human behavior. And one of the things that I'm curious about, if you agree with, is that a lot of people are just really anxious and scared, and communicating with other people has gone down this road. You know, I don't even want to mention it, like especially since COVID, like people seem to just be afraid. How do you find anxiety plays a role in communication these days? And what are some things we can do to calm ourselves?
Yeah, that's a great question. I totally agree with you. In fact, I think it's one of the things I noticed was when being older was the company spent a lot more money on training. So when I was younger, I was always on training courses. Where I find a lot of the clients I'm working with, people, some of the material I think is basic is they see this as some great reveal. You know, it's like, wow, where did you learn this before? And I think, well, everybody knows that. But let's just look at that in terms of the, you're absolutely right. Here's the big thing about fear and anxiety. Nobody and nothing makes you nervous or anxious. You do it to yourself by choosing how you want to react. Now, you may say, hang on a second here, Derek, I'm not sure about that. Well, in therapy, everybody has a strategy for doing something. So if I'm dealing with somebody who's got fear of public speaking, I say to them, well, how do you do that? And they look at me and go, what? What do you mean, how do I do that? So well, you've got a strategy. So what has to happen first? And then they go, I get a picture of what is the picture? Or people are laughing at me, whatever. So you just decompose it that way, you see. Now, one of the things you can do to give yourself confidence is if you're delivering, if any of your audience are delivering a presentation, here's the big secret. If you've delivering the presentation and you've put the presentation together and you've rehearsed it, You're going to know your material better than anybody else in the audience, unless it's expert. So 95% of the cases, you will know that material better than anybody else. If anybody asks me about my books, the chances are I'm going to know more about my books because I wrote them and researched them than anyone else. If somebody picks up a page of a book I've maybe not looked at on my own for a while, sure, they might catch me out, but it's probably going to be an unreasonable part that I wouldn't be
Right.
expected to know. So it's how you handle it, Lisa. It's all about framing it. So you would just, if you do get caught out, you just go, hey, that's a great question. Do you know I've never had that before? That really is a good question. I'd like to give that some thought to give you a proper answer. Would it be okay if I came back to you? Do you see that sounds plausible rather than going, you see? It's how you handle it. Now, the other thing we can do is we can adjust their breathing, which is we can use something called box breathing, which is where you breathe in. Well, that's the more advanced one, even a simple one, just breathing in rhythmically for the count of five, breathing out for the count of five will calm your state. So that's something you can do there. Now, one of the other things that I ask people, and I'm watching people very carefully, is how do they create their world? And people go, wait a minute, Derek, what are you talking about here? What I do is I get them to close their eyes and say, I want you to recall the best holiday you've been on. And I ask them whether they're in the holiday, in the memory, or whether they're looking at the holiday as if they're in the movie theater. So
Interesting.
we don't have enough time to go into all this today, but what you can do is by changing whether you're in the movie or out of the movie, you can move from what you call an associated state to a dissociated state, and that changes the corresponding emotion. You can also play around with the memories because all memories are a lie. Now, some of your viewers are going to go, hang on, Derek, I'm not sure about this. Well, I'll give you an example. You're now aware of the feelings in your mouth. You weren't 5 minutes ago, they were still going there. Your brain just chose not to process them. You're now aware of the feelings in your left hand. And no matter how much you try and not become aware of it, you're now aware of the temperature in the room. So this is all going on. So we can change our focus. It's your mind. You can either choose to think you're going to be successful, or you could choose to be a failure. You've got the right to choose. I'm not the thought police. You can choose whichever one you want to. And one of the things I would say for people who are nervous, nervous of what? If you're speaking, what's the worst thing that could happen? There's
Yeah,
somebody
we
laughing.
totally, we always blow it out of proportion. We think the house
Yeah.
is going to burn down every single time when we get into that state of
Exactly.
mind. We picture the worst case scenario.
Yeah. And so what if you forget all your words? Suppose you stand up and you forget, you just make a joke. Something like I
What's
would
the worst that
say,
can happen?
yeah, I mean, I was in Chicago recently, I was presenting, I forgot what I was talking about, and I just said, oh, that's the problem with getting old. Your memory goes, maybe I should write a book on memory. You get a bit of a
Shut up.
laugh and you say, now, where was I again? You go, oh, yes, I was here. It's the way you deal with it, Lisa. The worst thing is coming across as not being confident. If you can get your body language right and you have this playful, have a playful attitude, a fun attitude. There is no job I've ever been in where the terms and conditions said, you cannot laugh. They're trying these days, I think. You're not allowed to have fun. It doesn't happen. It's how you want to perceive yourself. Sure, you don't want to be breathing fire and juggling if you're in a serious profession, but equally, you can still be a bit playful. People like people who are playful,
I was
they're
just gonna
fun.
say, I almost feel like I find them more relatable when they do make a mistake and then they
Yeah.
just handle it like whatever, I find that charming and endearing when someone who's taken a leadership role clearly messes up and they just handle it like another thing and it doesn't affect them. I just have so much more respect for them and it's unconscious. It's suddenly I'm like, oh, now I really want to listen to them because they're real, they're authentic. They're not pretending to be someone they're not. They're just normal like everybody else. I find it so incredibly endearing.
Sure. And there's a great tip for people, for the leaders in your audience who are delivering talks or speaking to people. Here's the big thing. And I hate to tell you this, but it's true. People won't remember what you said. They will remember how you made them feel. Now, I've tested this many times. You can do it, deliver a presentation or a talk. Just leave it a couple of days and phone somebody up or speak to them and say, hey, what did you think about my talk? And they'll say, oh, I loved it. It was great. It was really good. You say, oh, thanks very much. Which parts did you enjoy the most? Well, it was all pretty good. And, yeah.
Oh,
You know, we give people far too much
I hate
credit.
that.
We give people too much credit for A, for paying attention and also remembering. For fun, sometimes when I'm doing training, I'll throw in a random word. I was in the south of England and I just threw in the word bank in the middle of a sentence. And I said at the end, did anybody notice anything? And they all looked, they were all, as a hypnotist once said, he said, the challenge is not getting people into trance, it's getting them out of the trance they're in.
Right.
So they were all
Yeah.
red and they all looked at each other, and one person went, I thought you said the word bank. It sounded a bit odd. And I went, yeah. So
That's
don't worry
funny. Oh
about it.
my gosh.
People are not listening, yeah.
Yeah. No, totally. It makes total sense. So, Derek, tell us about your work, your website, and your books briefly, and then we'll get into the end here. We'll wrap
Yeah,
up.
cute. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, I've got six books. So we have the first one was called Inside the Mind of Sales. So that's for people who are interested in sales. Big component on the, in fact, rather than say for each one, every book, how the first part is how the mind works and the human biases that people have. And then the second part is more a how-to with various strategies in there. So we have one on sales, which is called Inside the Mind of Sales. We have a book on body language that's got about 145 pictures in it. It's a pretty good book. We have the biggest selling one is How to Talk to Anybody. Surprise, surprise. That sells all over the world. I've just done a deal with a big publisher on that one as well. Another book on how to eliminate negative thinking. That's not going to be of interest to anybody, is it? And then I've got a book on public speaking, how to speak effectively without fear. And then a book on negotiation. So those are, I think I've got all of them down. There's six of them. So that's what I started writing those books, just really on the back of demand for people. In terms of the training that I do live training. I do Zoom training, and I also do training for big companies as well. So I'm actually off to Dubai on Saturday to do some training for a week out there on
Oh,
public speaking.
beautiful.
Yeah. And the website, so the website's got on there, that's got a little bit about me. It's got some of the information about the books. It's also got access to some of these audio programs I've recorded. These are specially designed to program your mind. You pop them on, listen to them every day for 30 days, and just do nothing other than relax. Just do nothing. And so they come in different ones. You get ones for confidence, ones for fear of public speaking, present like a pro, charisma on demand is quite popular. For other ones, so one for sleep, one for be more assertive, be more positive, these sort of things. And they're available on the website.
Beautiful. And remind us what your website is. It will be in the show notes for the people that are listening right now and they want to type it in and they're eager to find you. Where do they find you?
Yeah, sure. It's power. POWER, and then the number two, and then mind. So it's power, then and the number two, and mind, and that's all one word. Or you can just Google me. I'm all over the place on Google. You'll find me on Amazon as well. So I tend to pop up in all sorts of places. That's the website if they
Beautiful.
want to check that out.
Thank you. So I will say this, if you were to approach me now, I'd be more apt to marry you now than at the beginning of the show because I can really feel your warmth and you've got a really beautiful personality and aura about you. So it's been
Thank you,
such
Lisa.
a pleasure to getting to meet you and speak to you. Do you have any last minute thoughts that you want to leave the audience with?
Oh, what should we leave them with? What would be good for them? Yeah, why don't we just, you've always got a choice in communication, okay? I want to talk about something reframing, that you can always reframe everything. Let me give you an example. I play electric guitar, and at the weekend, I have this Gibson guitar that is 20 years old. I took it out the case, I laid it on my son's pool table, and for some bizarre reason, the headstock had snapped. I was absolutely furious and devastated. Then I flipped it round and thought, hey, I'll go in, get it fixed. Okay, it's going to be glued, but what it means now, instead of it sitting there being so pristine in its case that I was scared to play it, I get to play a really good guitar now because it's already damaged. So it's a choice about how you view things, Lisa. The glass can be half empty or half full. The correct description is 50% air, 50% liquid. You can choose how you want to look at the world, and you can just about reframe anything.
Yeah, I agree. Again, thank you so much for being here, Derek. It's
My
been such a
pleasure.
pleasure and so much fun.
Thank you, Lisa. Lovely to see you.
And to our audience, thank you for being here and for tuning in. You just heard from Derek Borthwick, and please rush to his website, check out his books and his programs. So you can learn how to communicate better and just be more effective in this world as a communicator. Until next time, have a great week, everyone. Bye.